Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. And today, that's one of the things we're going to try to work on. We're going to try to work on your good spirits. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by actually bringing on a young man that has written not one, but two books. And we're going to talk about his books, or at least one of them today. And a young man that's basically taken a very devastating loss and then through his own passion, through his own effort, and through his own diligence, not only wrote a book, but got those books published. And those books are available, and we'll get into more detail about that. Anyway, the young man is definitely going to be and is already a force to be reckoned with, and someone that deserves not only your respect, but of course your time to listen to what he has to say as he shares his story and talks about how he came about the success and creating the success for himself that is created, especially in a time right now where we have so many people that are younger that feel as though they're trapped, feel as though there's nowhere for them to go, yet they've gone through not even close to what this young man has gone through, yet even if they had gone through more, they still have everything in the world to look forward to. And a lot of that is based on faith, but also remembering that it's not what happens to you, it's how you deal with it. Anyway, with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Collins I. Thomas. Collins, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, ready to roll.
All right, sir. Anyway, we want to welcome you to the Zurian Show, and thank you for sharing your time with us and the listeners. Also, please, listeners, if anybody wants to call in, please feel free. The number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471 if you'd like to call in. But anyway, with no further ado, Collins, so how did you come up with this idea?
Well, it all started back when I was, I want to say, in high school. And high school was a very, very interesting time for me. You know, I was just discovering who I was. That's normally a time when people want to figure out who they are. I've learned at a younger age when people first started in high school, the first 4 years are what's going to determine how you're going to live life when you're a lot older. So what made me come up with the idea was it all came down to passing on my father, which maybe people see in the biography. When my father died, I was devastated. You know, I reached a point where I had no way of going up. I felt like my body getting weaker. And then all of a sudden, I remember watching The Secret. Now, I'm not going to give my credit all to The Secret, because The Secret helps, you know, as long as you use it to an advantage and you have to take action. I'll talk about that later on. But it all came down to it. I remember there's a quote I heard from one of my favorite TV shows on Avatar: The Last Airbender. I know it's a funny cartoon, but I like that show because it's a lot of inspiration. You know, I learned a lot from that show. Anyway, one of the quotes was, "When we reach our lowest point, we are open to the greatest change." And that's when I was open to the greatest change, when I started noticing things in my life. I was like, wait a minute, I just thought of that, but then it came true. Not that this is wishful thinking, but I started noticing how my thoughts and my actions started to affect my world around me. That's how I began my adventure and idea of publishing a book. You know, I thought it was all about making money, and I got an idea. How about I just published a book? And I told my mom about it, and she said, why don't you just go ahead and do it? So I did it. You know, it took me a year to go ahead and publish a book, but, you know, I finally did it, but I learned it's not about the destination, you know, as much as people like to say. It's about the journey. It's about who you become. It's not about all the money. It's not all about, you know, the cars, the houses, you know, all the fancy places you get to travel to. It's not all about that. Those are great. You know, I encourage people to go after that if that's what they really want to do. But there's more important things than that. There's who you are. That's the most important subject you're ever going to study in life. And that's what I think they should teach more of that in schools. They should start teaching us about how and, you know, we can improve ourselves. You know, who can we serve? Because when we serve others, we're also serving ourselves. And so that's how I came up with the idea. I want people to have a purpose in life. I don't want people to go around the whole day, especially younger kids in my generation. I'm 20 years old. You know, I'm going to be 21 in February. I'm 20 years old. I'm young. And I want people everywhere to understand that they need to get up from whatever, you know, crap they're living in, you know, wherever they are, start doing something with their life. Don't live a life like everybody else. Don't conform to society. Don't think like everybody else. Think for yourself. Be unique. Find a purpose for your life. So that's the reason why I published my book.
Outstanding. And you're absolutely right. Most of us get kind of wrapped up in the minutiae, or we get wrapped up chasing fame and fortune. However, we don't set up the dominoes so that we can actually have the foundation to sustain it if we reach it. And then most of us don't really have a clear direction. So when you wrote the book, you dedicated it to who?
I dedicated it to a lot of my friends, my first one. I'll make a little shout out if they're listening. I dedicated it to a lot of my friends. The second one, I dedicated it to my mother and my grandmother. If I have to read a list of my first book, give me 1 second if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. I dedicated it to my mother, my father, my friend Eugene, living in New York, my other friends, Carrington, Adam, my friend Jasmine, Nelimar, my stepfather, Tom, and my stepbrother, Austin. And my grandfather especially, because he's a tough man. You know, he lost his son, and I finally met him, and he seems like a really tough guy. I'm also going to make a shout-out to my two friends, Aaron and Jessica. Hope you're listening. But it's mostly dedicated to you guys, the readers. You know, that's where it's really going to be at. I want people who read this book to feel like they have a purpose in life again, to feel that they are on a journey, an adventure, because life's an adventure. You know, life is not meant to be a 9-to-5 job, unless that's what you really want to do. Life is meant to have to be fun and exciting. You're supposed to find excitement in what you do. You know, just turning, you know, turn your lemons into lemonade. It's funny how cliche as that might sound.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about the book? You've kind of told us where you got your inspiration from and those things where you touched on it a little bit with The Secret. But you tell us a little bit about the book and what you feel as though the book is going to give those that listen or read it.
You see, the book is basically short and simple. It's basically a bunch of quotes, really, that I decided to come up with, you know, I realized, in all honesty, I was never the best writer in school. In fact, I can list a bunch of people who are better writers than I am, but I decided one day I'm not going to let that limit me. And the book is basically about finding your purpose. And when you read the book, it's basically, you read quotes, basically. It's basically quotes down the line. This call from me, you know, I can't, you know, basically I decided, okay, I read a lot of these personal development books, a lot of these, you know, motivating books, a lot of these different books on life, and I had a lot of these experiences. So why don't I combine those experiences and rhyme into quotes? Write down quotes in each line. And when I show people this book, people love this book. People want to read more of it. I try to explain to people all the time when they're reading this book. They totally block out what I'm saying, and they're totally immersed into this book. If it sounds too good to be true, read it yourself. It's on Amazon, but I'm also offering a deal today, a sale. I'm selling these books for $12 each. Make sure it's to your email. Basically, I'm selling it through PayPal. I'm selling it for $12. Both of them are $12. $20. Usually it's $20 online if you're gonna buy both of them. But it's not all about the money, like I said earlier. It's about basically finding your purpose. You gotta find something that is true to you. Don't just follow the masses. Don't follow the crowds. That's what the book's about.
Okay. All right, you were talking about some of the quotes or some of the stories that you have in there. Could you tell us one of the stories, give the people that are listening a sample of actually what's in the book to urge them to go out and purchase?
Well, I'll give you an example. The book is not even a story. It's basically just quotes down the line. If one of the things I've written in the book, I guess I'll read short little line from it. Let's see. No one ever determines how successful you will be. When one speaks of your failures in a bad light with any encouragement to improve, they are putting you down. They are jealous and want you to feel discouraged. They think that putting you down will make them feel better and successful. There's just one problem, though. They will not accomplish what they want if they are putting others down. Your objective is to become bigger and forget who they are. They are not your friends. If they are, make new ones, because they're only holding you back. You may love them, but they can't help you anymore.
Outstanding. That's an outstanding quote and very true. You know, evidently, you've had some other mentors other than your friends, again, all of those people that you've quoted, and the combination of quotes put together, but that was actually very eloquent. Very eloquent.
Thank you very much.
No problem. I'm actually impressed with the fact that you sticked to your guns. You kept your guns straight and you did what you needed to do to actually get the book out. So of the readers that you've had so far, what has been the demographics that you've hit? What have been the age groups that have mostly gravitated towards your book, even though it sounds like one that fits every age group?
I want to say the demographic that mostly likes my book would be females. I want to say females from 18, I'm just going to go with the estimate to, I don't know, maybe 50, you know, depending on who reads it. I want to say females largely are a bigger demographic than males. And, you know, I'm a guy myself. I'm not going to, you know, start saying, okay, I'm not going to start making comparison because we're all equal under, you know, one, we're all equal under one, you know, all of us are equal. But I want to say females. The reason why I say females is because think about females in general, girls, women, whatever name you wanted to call it, or description you like to describe them, are more open-minded. They're more open towards, you know, better ideas, better judgments. In fact,
women.
Detailed. Yeah, I would say women. That's like, you know, that's a better example. I should start saying women. I think when you get on the roll here, you're like, what do I say? Woman. Let's say woman. That's the proper term. Women are more open-minded. They are more, they're
receptive.
More encouraged. Yeah, perceptive as well. They're more encouraged. They see things differently than men do. Men, we can get a little bit stubborn. We're so tight in our ways. We don't really want to see things differently. We want to stick to our own thing, which is good. It comes in handy if you're facing certain odds against you. You're facing certain, you know, obstacles. You need that stubbornness. But the thing about women is that they are more compassionate. They see things outside the box. They're not going to see things the same way. They think differently. And I think that's one of the reasons why women are more, you know, perceptive to my book. Not to say that men aren't as well, because I know there have been men that have bought my book, but I want to say women are more likely to buy it than men are. Not to say a man can't buy it either, because I've sold books to both men and women, and they loved it. They, you know, they read it, they liked it, and you know, there you go. That's the demographic I can really tell you about.
Right. Women just seem to be more readers as a whole. They'll read stories. They'll read things that are a little bit more open in the way of heart. And when you're quoting people, you're kind of quoting things that come from people's hearts, and that's just something that seems to resonate a little better with women. Actually, about two months ago, I was talking with Gail Cohen. I don't know if you know of Gail Cohen, but she's like one of the number one women speakers in the country. She's also one of the first women to actually break into the speaking arena, you know, motivational speaking and things like that. And what Gail was telling me is that men, what was she saying? She said women are like syrup. And I forgot what the thing was about men, but she was like, women are like syrup and men are like waffles. You know, we can only concentrate on one thing at a time, where a woman's mind can go all over the place. You know, she can handle a kid, she can get the dishes done, she can go to do work, she can pay some bills, all of these other things. She said, but men, we have to stay in our waffle. You know, if basically, let's say your girlfriend is talking to you and your mind is on writing the book, well, she may have asked you to get milk. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get that milk. But your mind wasn't on the milk. Your mind was on getting the book done. So you come home and you don't have the milk. Why don't you have the milk? Because you weren't in that waffle square. You were in the waffle square of writing your book or work or other problems, and you concentrate. Does that sound about right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I remember I can count the many times a mother has told me to do something once, and I'm like, I totally forget exactly what she told me. And then later on she told me, it's like, you didn't do what I asked you to do. It's like, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did. And I realized, oh, okay, there you go. I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I was thinking about something else entirely. I just told her yes because I thought I'd be able to remember it by now.
Right. And that's one of the, how you say, this particular book we're talking about is on motivation and belief and positive thinking. But if you think about it, that's one of the main reasons why the two sexes have such a hard time communicating, you know, because what's important to one a lot of times isn't important to the other. Not saying that either one isn't important, but it's just we grow up differently. We're raised differently. Different things are stressed, you know, and because of that, you know, it's hard for a lot of us to grasp it. But tell us a little bit more about the book and your goals with it.
Well, originally, my goal is to change the world. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change everything. I know Gandhi once, he said something, you know, if you want to change the world, you got to change ourselves. And that's what I always do. I seek to improve myself. I'm going to get into all about our beliefs. You know, we have to have a belief about ourselves. How we see ourselves is going to reflect on our actions, and our actions is going to reflect on our world. We got to start seeing ourselves differently. And if we want to change the world, we got to start seeing ourselves as great. We can't look at ourselves as being like everybody else in society. I'm gonna say it plain, loud and clear. Society is stupid. That's it, plain and simple. Society is stupid. You listen to society, you're gonna go in a direction where you're gonna go in a direction where you don't want to go. You're gonna put it that way. That's saying it lightly. Society is stupid. So we got that covered. You want to start making sure you start thinking for yourself. Don't think like everybody else. Start believing, you know, for bigger things to happen in your life. Start believing for bigger things to, you know, start believing for miracles. Start believing for all the things that you wish to happen. Not that you wish, that you desire to happen. Start desiring things to happen in your life. That's how you, it doesn't matter what goal it is. It can be a goal, you know, simple as, you know, let's say you want to lose about, 15 pounds, 100 pounds. Start seeing yourself as that. Start believing that you could do this. And don't just put it out there as a wish and say, oh, I wish I could do that. Start believing it. And after you believe that, take some action. Don't just sit down and like, okay, I believe this. I'm going to get through it sooner or later. No, don't ever do that. Start taking some motivated action. You got to be motivated. You got to get something to motivate you. Find something that scares you. It's a little weird, a little sketchy at first, but the best way I know in my personal history, my personal experience, I have to find something that scares me. If I find something that scares me so much, I'll feel motivated towards it. I have to put myself on the edge. I have to risk. I'm a big risk taker. I love risk. I'm a big believer when it comes to risk. You have to risk. Take that risk. Don't settle. If you settle, you're going to be sorry. The quote, there's a saying out there that says, you know, better to be safe than sorry. Well, I'm going to change that. If you don't risk, you're going to be sorry. Do something. Because life is short. Life is not going to last forever. You don't want to be one of those people who look back on life and say, oh, I wish I could have done that. I wish I could have done this. Oh, I wish I could have done, you know, all the things I said I would have done, but I didn't. You don't want to live a life of regret. That's one of the major things that I strive to do. I don't want to live a life of regret. I want to live a life that says, wow, I did it. You know, I actually did do it. And I always sometimes imagine myself, wow, you know, after taking a risk, I always imagine myself, wow, imagine if I didn't do that. Imagine if I didn't take that risk, where would I be now? I mean, I wouldn't accomplish half the things I've done if I have never taken a risk. We got to take risks in life. That's how we're going to get it. That's what we're going to get through. You know, you don't take risks, how are we going to succeed? And everybody great in life has taken some sort of risk to get to where they are. I mean, J.K. Rowling, you know, she's a big inspiration. She sent her manuscript to the publisher 3 times, as far as I remember the story going. You know, if anybody has a correct story, correct me if I'm wrong. She sent her manuscript to the publisher 3 times, and the third time, you know, the second time, the publisher was already, you know, annoyed that she kept sending it in. She sent it in a third time, take that risk. And the publisher was like, you know what, this lady is onto something. I'm going to publish a book. Now you see the result of that today. She's famous, you know, she's basically all over the news. She's everywhere. That's what it is. Got it.
United, the whole nine. She's also one of the richest women now in England.
Exactly, yes. Richer than the Queen of England. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Plus that, what was it, Les Brown? Les Brown said if you're going to fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can tell you this. I reached a point in my life where, you know, on the way to a goal, I reached a point in my life where, you know, I even questioned my sanity. Am I crazy for doing this? Am I crazy? I mean, it didn't work before. How's it going to work again? That's when you start realizing, you know, okay, maybe I should reassess what I'm doing. You know, when you set a goal, you got to start reassessing what you do. You know, don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. That's the definition of insanity. What you want to do when you have the goal, you want to start doing things that you've done before. You got to start what I say. And if you want to do something you never have, do something you've never done. That's not my saying, you know, that's someone else's saying. But you have to start taking actions differently, do something differently. I'm 20 years old again, you know, maybe I'm not sure how many people, you know, can believe that, but I'm 20 years old. I don't let my age stop me from doing what I want to do. Many kids let that happen. I don't let that happen. I don't limit myself. I don't want to limit myself. You got to be motivated. You got to have faith. That's where it's all going to come down to. You got to have faith. If you don't have faith in yourself, how are you going to accomplish what you want? You know, that's where it all ends. You know, people, that's how miracles occur. You got to start having faith in your life. You don't have faith, you know. I've been told that I couldn't publish my book in high school. I mean, somebody told me, like, oh, no one's ever going to publish your book. And coming home from the bus, I was laughed at for even such proposing an idea. I was laughed at. People, and I was on the bus, you know, I was like, you know, people kind of laughed at me. And I knew deep down, you know, and that's not going to stop me. I knew what I knew. I knew what I wanted to do. A year later, I was the one having the last laugh. You know, a friend of mine, his name will not be mentioned. You know, I haven't seen him in a year. Maybe she's, you know, I have no idea where he is. I don't care, you know. But he said, he's like, yo, Colin, hook me up. You know, I can't find your book anywhere. And I reminded him what he said. This is where, you know, success equals the best revenge. I reminded him what he told me last year. I told him, do you remember what you told me last year? No one's going to publish my book, and now you're coming to me. Do you want me to hook you up with a free copy? Like, you don't do that. You know, you don't. That's where, you know, success could be a great motivator. I also have one other thing I wanted to talk about as well, if we have the time. An inspired idea, inspiration. You got to find something to be inspired for. You have the motivation. You have that. What are you inspired to do? You know, you can, and an inspired idea could be as little as, okay, you wake up in the morning and like, you have that eureka moment. You have that epiphany moment where you realize, okay, I'm going to write a letter to, I don't know, somebody in business, somebody famous, or maybe somebody not so famous, maybe somebody who works in the office where you want to work at, or you want to, you know, have, you know, you want to have your business set up. Maybe somewhere there, right? You get the idea to write a letter. That's an inspired idea. Follow that. Just because it doesn't look like it can lead much to anywhere, just follow that idea. You can't. We have our egos. We can't see the whole picture. We don't know the whole picture. We can't see it. Our egos are limited. We don't see everything. We only see what's in front of us. Our inspired ideas come from the larger mind, a higher mind. You can call it God. I call it God. You know, I call it divinity. I call it whatever it is. It comes from the higher mind, and that's God telling you, you know, I'm not going to bring religion into this because I don't know how people are to get that. I guess that's another story, but I will call it God. You know, that's from the higher mind telling you, okay, this is what you should do. And it's up to us to act on those ideas, because that comes from the all-seeing. It can see pretty much the whole universe, and it's saying, okay, I like you have a goal, okay, this is what you got to do. And most of us think that, you know, when we get an inspired idea, it's so little, we feel like it's not going to accomplish much. Yes, it is. I mean, that's how I published my book. And that's all it came down to. You know, my first book, I started, all I did was write down what I wanted, you know, write down quotes already, a Microsoft Word processor. That's how simple it is. You know, if you don't think it's that simple, reevaluate, you know, what you want to do. Reevaluate what you're doing. If you gotta look at life and say, you know what, you know, if you reach the bottom of the barrel, you gotta look at life and say, I have nothing to lose. What do you got to lose? That's how you accomplish stuff. That's how you get things done.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But you have to take that first step. And a lot of people don't want to take that first step. Could you tell us the names of both of your books? You said you have two, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Could you give us the names of both the books? And could you also tell us, for anybody that's listening and not actually looking online, how they can get in touch with you or actually get copies of your books?
Well, the first book is called What Kind of Book Is This? It's called that for two reasons. The first reason was I had a different title than that, but I felt that was too, the first title I had was a little too cliche. The first title I had for my first book was a little too cliche. I walked into the Barnes & Noble and I saw all these different books all over the place. And I realized, you know, everybody's writing about the same thing. Everybody has the same exact title. It's like, anybody have come up with something new for once? So I decided, you know what? I'm going to name it What Kind of Book Is This? Because, you know, it's a book that, you know, you don't see every day. You know, it stands out. You want to know, what kind of book is this? You know, and I can guarantee you, nobody else has this title in the entire world. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But maybe I'm just saying that because I think it's probably the coolest thing ever. You know, maybe, you know, that's just me personally. I'm not egotistic. I try to stay grounded. You know, I'm not the type of person who goes bragging about my books all over the place. But that's where, you know, that's why I named my title What Kind of Book Is This? The second book is called The Greater Everything. I'll repeat it again. The Greater Everything. And underneath it, I have parentheses. What kind of book is this, too? Just for fun, really.
Okay.
The Greater Everything is basically, it speaks out. You want to, here's what you learn in my book. You want to make sure it dives down into deeper topics. You see, my first book, when you read it, it's basically about, you know, it's simple quotes, you know, stuff you can pretty much read, you know, anywhere. You know, but my second book is, I was a lot older, I was more experienced, and I just wanted to put something a little bit more content in it. They're short books, you know, they don't take you days to read or weeks to read. You can read these books, and I would say maybe a day, you know, that's how short it is, you know, that's how simple it is, and people, and you know, and I guarantee you can achieve success, but only if you apply it to your life. I'm gonna tell you the reason why they're short. Reason number one was people don't like to read much these days. Why are you gonna read that? People don't like to read a lot. Why are we gonna read? You know, and which is a shame. I think people should read more because the people I've met who read a lot are really intelligent. You know, I'm not saying people who don't read are intelligent, but reading is essential, and, you know, and this is partly why I've made it this short, because people don't have that time of the day. You know, they don't, that's what they say. So I came up with an idea that, you know what, if they feel like they don't have the time to read a whole entire novel like Harry Potter, you know, how many pages of Harry Potter is he? Like, what would you say? Like, what?
Harry Potter's a few hundred pages.
Yeah, I mean, my book is simple, it's effective, you know, you'll enjoy it. I don't want you to have to sit there all day and read a book, and, you know, you'll get to the good stuff immediately. And I've also had a blank page. For every page you read, there's also a blank page where you write down, you know, what, you write down, it's a little area, you write down what you want to do. You know, what are you grateful for? That's what I want people to be more involved in their development, their improvement. Because once you improve what's going on internally, your thoughts, you know, your feelings, you're gonna be able to bring that out into the external world. Your actions, how you do things.
Right.
I want people to get on it immediately. I don't want them to have to wait all day and get to the good stuff. They'll feel like, oh man, when is the good stuff coming? I want to do it now. You don't have to, listen, action doesn't have to be going to make big business deals and shaking hands with these CEOs and executives and making all these big money deals. That's not just action. Action can be as little as writing down an idea. That's action. Many people don't think that, but that is action. You're doing something. Action could be as little as going for a walk and listening to your favorite music. That is action. Because maybe going for a walk and listening to your favorite music, you'll get an idea about, hey, I could do this. Because a little side note of music. When you listen to music, I've read, it raises your brain levels, your brain vibration to a higher state where you're more open to frequency, you're more open to thoughts where, you know, you start coming up with more creative ideas. I think that's one of the reasons why they say when you listen to classical music, you know, people who listen to that are more intelligent. I don't want to say it's because you're more intelligent. We all are intelligent. God doesn't make stupid people. People just make stupid decisions. No one is ever born stupid. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I played a girl who has autism. And she beat me in chess the other day. I was like, wow, she's not stupid. You know, not that I ever thought she was stupid, but, you know, if people think that, you know, that there are those, you know, who are, you know, mentally, handicapped, we got to do a little bit more research into that, because people who are quote-unquote mentally handicapped aren't all that mentally handicapped. We are on the verge of, you know, super consciousness. I mean, look how fast we're moving. You got to look around you. If anybody's listening, just take a look around you right now. I mean, look at all the technology all around you. Look all around you. Look at what you're wearing. Look at all the things that, you know, you brought to yourself. Look at that. Just take a deep moment to look at that. That's consciousness. That's a result of a super consciousness, the combined consciousness of everybody in the entire world. That's consciousness. We are all connected with, you know, one God. We are all connected, and that is intelligence. And I really wanted to get into divine attraction. I mean, if we still have the time, because this is probably the most important topic people got to learn. I mean, do we have the time, Z?
Actually, we're about running. We're about out of time, so we'll have to probably visit another show with you, and we can actually get more in depth. But anyway, you can tell that you're very passionate about everything that you said. And, you know, again, we'll get together and see what we can do about doing another show in the very soon future. But I want to thank you again, Colin, Mr. Colin Thomas, Colin I. Thomas, for your book and for sharing it with us and for also sharing your thoughts and your beliefs, because it's just refreshing to see somebody that's so young in age that's actually thinking like that. Not that there aren't others like you, it's just that others that are like you aren't the people that we see in the news every day.
Oh yeah, definitely. You gotta be different. You gotta stand out. And if people wanna purchase my book, I was gracious enough to put a link on underneath. If you put a link in the description of the blog Talk Radio, there's a link there where I can sell you my books for about $2 for $12, basically. It's really cheap stuff. I've sold a lot of books before. You know, I put a link, or if you want to purchase it, it's a lot cheaper than Amazon. You know, it is on Amazon Kindle. If you want to buy it on Kindle, go ahead. That's where it is. But I made it cheap for people because I realized, you know, why do you have to pay so much for a small book? It's not even worth the pay. Why are you paying that much for a small book? You know, I mean, come on, common sense there.
First off, the book is worth as much as it's worth, and that up to the individual. Technically, your book is priceless. And why is your book priceless? Because if there's one quote in there or one thing in there that transforms another person's life, then that means that your book has changed their lives. But anyway, we've got to go. Again, thank you, Collins, for coming on the show. Truly appreciate it. Hope everything works out and that life hands you a whole bunch of, you take all your lemons and make lemonade with it.
Anyway, I want
to thank Collins for being on the show, and thank you for listening. And as always, we hope that we bring you the best in the sense of information and knowledge that's useful to you and everybody else out there. But with no further ado, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Take care, be well, share the link with everybody that you can. And again, go out there and get Collins' book. It could be a very beneficial thing for each and every one of you. Thank you very much, and have a great and wonderful day. Take care. And as Collins said, let's take action. Let's be people of character, and let's not only talk the talk, but walk the walk.